Our message this morning will be taken from Luke chapter 9, and the title of the message will be taken from verse 32. Let's read verse 32 one more time. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, awakened, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him, they saw his glory. So here's the title of the message: Seeing the Glory of Christ. Seeing the glory of Christ. Every believer does see the glory of Christ in the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is all about Him, the Lord Jesus. The gospel is not about you. The gospel is about Christ. The gospel of God is all about the gospel of His glory. Now, by way of introduction, you remember the story from the message last week, and remember the setting of this marvelous story, how the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured and changed in the presence of Peter, James, and John. We read a moment ago in Matthew 17, there it says, His face did shine like the sun, and His clothing was white and glistening. We find these two men, prophets of God, Moses and Elijah, appeared with the Lord in this magnificent sight, and they talked with the Lord Jesus Christ about the death at Jerusalem, His death, that He would accomplish. Look at verse 30 and 31 in Luke 9. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in this glory, who appeared with the Lord Jesus, and they spake of His decease, which He should accomplish. He should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, we spent most of the time in the message last week concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ did accomplish at Calvary when He was crucified for our sins according to the Scripture. And we saw in that lesson that He accomplished the eternal salvation of His people, the eternal salvation of His church. For He bought the church with His own blood. He accomplished the putting away of the sin of His covenant people. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. We see the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for the sheep. And then finally, when He was dying there on Calvary's tree, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is accomplished. Salvation is accomplished. It is finished." He justified all of His people from all of their sin, and He did so by His blood. Much more, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. That's our hope. Our hope is what He did for us. Our hope of salvation has nothing to do with what we have done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget that. Don't go there, don't look there, don't find any assurance or any comfort in what you have done. I hope it drives you to despair and causes you to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ in all that He has done for us. Salvation is what Christ has accomplished for us. Now, three or four things here. I want to bring a message from verse 32 down through verse 36 in Luke chapter 9. Here's the first thing I want to point out. Here we find Peter, James, and John in verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, or when they were awakened, they saw His glory. When they are awakened by the power of God, what did they see? They didn't see the glory of Elijah and Moses. They saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here we see a picture of salvation. A picture of the sinner's salvation. This is exactly what happens when the Lord awakens us and quickens us, wakens us out of the sleep of sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ gives us spiritual life by the quickening power of God the Holy Spirit. It's God who must awaken us from the sleeping state of our deadness in sin. He must quicken us. You hath he quickened who were dead. He must make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. We cannot do that ourselves. We are so full of sin and so totally depraved that we'll sleep right on, not seeing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1 that believers are made partakers or possessors of a new divine nature that enables us to believe and see His glory. We see the glory of the gospel in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now hold your place there, and let's see if we can find 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And here's the only way we'll see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must awaken us. He must quicken us. He must make us new creatures in Christ. He must give us a new divine nature. Now notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. You got verse 6? For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Who commands the light to shine? God commands the light to shine. And when God shines that light, truth of the gospel in our heart, you know what we see? We see the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John did not see any glory in Moses or in Elijah. The only glory they saw His glory. You see verse 32? Have you seen His glory? The glory of His person, the glory of His work. Moses represented the law, but the Lord said that Moses wrote of Him. If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses saw the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did. Moses wrote of the Lord Jesus. Elijah represented the prophets of God, but they too spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is called the blessed gospel of the glory of God. You see, it's all about His glory. Not about your glory. Not about you. It's about His glory now and forever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, power, glory, and blessing both now and forever. Those that have seen Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, in the word of truth by the power of God, speak only of His glory. Now let me show you that in Scripture. Turn over to John chapter 12. When Isaiah saw Him high and lifted up, what did he speak of? From Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and those seraphim said, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Now, John chapter 12, verse 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw His glory. What did he speak of? He spake of Him. Those who have seen the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, they speak of Him. Those who believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is all their hope of salvation before God. Those that preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ speak only of His glory. You see, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for His sake. We speak of the glory of His incarnation. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. We speak of the glory of His incarnation. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 16. In John chapter 1, of His fullness have all we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared Him. We speak of His glorious incarnation. We speak of the glory of His salvation. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians? Chapter 6, verse 14. God forbid we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel of God, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. The gospel of God is all about His glory. Now in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 3 down through verse 14, we find this statement written three times to the praise of the glory of His grace. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now watch it. Verse 6, to the praise of His glory, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Here we see the whole triune God in the accomplishing of our salvation, the Father choosing a people in His electing grace, according to the praise of the glory of His grace. Beginning in verse 7, we see the work of the Son, God the Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure of His purpose, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory. You see, it's all about His glory. In the Son redeeming us and the Father choosing us, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now verse 13, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here's the work of God the Holy Spirit in our salvation, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His. Who gets the glory? God gets all the glory. Have you seen His glory in God choosing a people unto salvation, in the Son redeeming a people by His blood, and then the Holy Spirit quickening His people? You see, the confession of faith is Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now look back to Luke chapter 9. Here's the second thing I want us to see in verse 33. And it came to pass, Luke 9:33. And it came to pass, by the will of God, by the purpose of God, as they departed from Him. Now I take that to mean that Moses and Elijah went back to wherever they were before, when they were on this Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said unto the Master, the Lord Jesus, it's good for us to be here. Now put yourself in their shoes. They just saw the radiant deity of the eternal God shine in the face of Jesus Christ. They saw Moses, the great prophet of God. They saw Elijah, the man that was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. It's good for us to be here. Well, I can identify with that, can't you? They wanted just to stay there for a while. And here's what he said. Peter said, let us make three tabernacles. Let us make three monuments. One to you, one to Moses, one to Elijah, not knowing what he said. Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with what he said? What's wrong with what? Isn't it a good thing for us to be here? Yeah. He wanted to stay there for a while. He wanted to construct these three tabernacles, not knowing what he said, as it says there in verse 33, not knowing what he said. In Mark chapter 9, verse 6, there it says, he knew not what to say. Now here's the point I'm trying to make. The best of men are only men at best. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to share his glory. Moses, great prophet. Elijah, great prophet. But they pale in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ. The best of men are only men at best. The old preacher George Whitfield said this, such is a mixture of nature and grace, of short-sightedness and infirmity among the best of men. Peter, we're not going to build a tabernacle to Elijah and to Moses. Moses and Elijah cannot and do not stand on equal ground with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ must not have, he must not only have all the glory, he must have all the preeminence, the first place. Now let me show you that in Scripture. Find the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ must have all the preeminence. You see, it says in verse 15 of Colossians 1, who is the image of the invisible God? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1:15, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now what does the word preeminence mean? That's a pretty big word. What does it mean? Well, the scriptural meaning of what's being said here, the Lord Jesus Christ must have the first place in all things. He must be first in all things. In all things, he must have the preeminence. The first place in our affections, in our thoughts, in our desires, to be like him. And in the highest praise of our lips, he must have the first place. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ rightly must have all the preeminence, all the glory, and rightfully so. He is the first. He has the chief place. In sonship, no one is a son. No one is a son in the sense that he is. He's the only begotten, well-beloved of the Father. In election, he must have the first place. He is the first chosen. We're chosen in him. Isaiah 42 says, behold my elect, my servant in whom I delight. He is the elect. We're chosen in him. You see, he must have the preeminence in election and in sonship. He must also have the preeminence in the covenant of grace. He is the only surety and messenger of the covenant. He is the only mediator. And certainly in redemption, he must have the first place, the preeminence. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And in salvation, he must have the preeminence. He must have the first place, the chief place, the only place. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. He will have mercy on whom He will. And in the resurrection glory, He must have all the preeminence. He is the first fruits. We are raised up in Him. Crucified in Christ, risen in Christ, seated in Christ, and exalted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He has all the preeminence. Not Moses, not Elijah, not the church, not Peter, not James. None but Christ alone must have all the preeminence. He must have all the glory. Now, back to Luke 9. Here's the third thing. Verse 34. While He thus spake, there came a cloud. Now, I don't think this was a dark cloud, a thunderstorm cloud. Like, you remember when the law was given on Mount Sinai, how the mountain even quaked in the burning. I don't think this was a dark cloud, a thunderstorm type cloud. I take this to be a white, bright cloud. The cloud of His glory. And this cloud is a special cloud because it speaks. This is a speaking cloud. You know, the cloud in Scripture called the dust of His feet. This cloud speaks. This cloud overshadowed them, overcame them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, what did this voice speak? This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, here's the important thing about this statement here. Oftentimes people say, are you pleased or satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we are. But you know, that's not the important issue. Now, I'm satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, He is well-pleasing in my sight. But the real issue of the gospel is this. God Almighty is satisfied and well-pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied God's law and justice for us. God is well-pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thy throne, He said, O God, is forever and ever. Don't turn, but let me just read this to you over here in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When Thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquity. God Almighty speaks from heaven concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I am well pleased with My beloved Son. Hear Him. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, God there speaks from heaven once again and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now He adds this statement, hear Him. The only person God the Father is absolutely well pleased with is the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? He didn't say, I'm well pleased with Moses. Moses had his times of rebellion against God. Do you remember that? He did not say He was well pleased with Elijah. Elijah had his times of unbelief and rebellion against God as well. He didn't say, I was well pleased with Peter, James, or John. They all were full of infirmity and sin. The Lord doesn't say this of any other man, but the God-man mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, I am well pleased, well satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 29, I do always those things that please Him. Now, none of us can say that. None of us can say that. Moses couldn't say that. Elijah couldn't say that. Peter, he certainly couldn't say that.
I don't know the man. Peter denied him three times. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can say, I do always those things that please and satisfy God Almighty. Everything in His redemptive work for us, the Father is well pleased. Well pleased in His sacrifice is called a sweet smelling savor unto God. God the Father is well pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ as He is our perfect mediator between God and men. There's just one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is always well pleased with everything He said and everything that He did. The amazing fact of the gospel is, as we are one with Him, united with Him, this is also true of every believer. Now get a hold of this. I said, as we're one with Him, as we are united with Him. You see, what's true of the head is true of the body. In Colossians chapter 2, it says, in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Christ. Nothing lacking. Nothing lacking to satisfy God's law and justice. The amazing fact of the gospel is God Almighty can speak from heaven against God Almighty can speak from heaven with His same saying in regard to every believer, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased, as we are one in Christ. You see, what's true of the head is true of the body. You remember this verse in our study from 1 John chapter 4? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. God speaks from heaven about every son in Christ, a son of His love, a son of His grace, a son by adoption, a son by a new birth. And He can say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In Jeremiah 23, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord our righteousness. And then over in Jeremiah 33, it talks about the church of the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what He calls our name? She shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is well pleased with that church redeemed by His blood. Now, here's the last thing I want to, well, the second to the last thing. The last part of verse 34, or in the last part of this statement, this is my beloved Son. Now, hearing. Hear Him. Hear Him. Give Him a hearing. Hear His word. Hear His word. What a blessing to have a desire to hear the word of the Lord. That Bible you have in your lap this morning, my friend, it does not only contain the word of God, it is the word of God. Hear Him speak in His word. What a blessing to have a desire to hear the word of the Lord. Remember when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, that Gentile? And Cornelius had God working on his heart, his mind, his soul. And he said when Peter got there, we are all here present before God to hear all things commanded thee of God. I want to hear Him speak from heaven through His word by His Spirit to my heart. What a blessing it is to sit quietly at His feet and to listen and to learn of Him. Our Lord said, all you that labor and heavy laden, come unto me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. My way is easy. Ask the Lord to teach you the gospel and answer every question that you have. And He will bless His word to your heart. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. We are to be swift to hear Him and slow to speak.
of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. This is my beloved Son. Now hear him. Listen to the word. Submit yourself to the hearing and the preaching of the gospel. Now, here's the last thing. Look at verse 36. Luke 9. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. Alone. Now, don't turn back over here, but let me read this to you that we read earlier in Matthew 17. Matthew 17. The Lord Jesus Christ came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. They saw no one but Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ only. They did not see Moses. He was gone. They did not see Elijah. He was gone. Who did they see? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled all the law and the prophets. We're no longer under the law, but under Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has fulfilled all the prophets had written about. We read last week, Luke 24, all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. They saw no one save the Lord Jesus Christ only. What does that teach us about the gospel? What is that teaching us about the gospel? In the whole matter of the accomplishment of our salvation, no one had any hand in it but the Lord Jesus Christ only. Only. Salvation is not your hand in his hand put together and accomplishing salvation. No, it's all by his hand. The Lord Jesus Christ only. In the accomplishment of our salvation, no one had a hand in it but the Lord Jesus Christ only. Christ, the Lord Jesus, is the only mediator, the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only prophet, priest, and king. Neither is there salvation in any other. Our Lord said, "I am the way, the only way. I am the truth, the only truth, and I am the only life." Salvation is in Christ, his person. Now, may God give us grace to awaken us that we may see his glory, that we may be totally satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ as we are one with him in that blessed covenant of grace. May we see his glory. May we honor him by believing him. And thirdly, may we trust him as all of our salvation. And may we look to Christ alone as all of our hope, all of our forgiveness, all of our pardon before God Almighty. Let's turn to one more scripture. Back over in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And may God do this work of grace in our heart. Verse 11. Colossians 3. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. He's all our hope. May God give us grace to see his glory, to hear him, and then to trust him as all of our salvation.